your word. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together to just gather around the word of God, to grow, to have our minds renewed to your thoughts, your plans, your actions, Lord. Father, we're just thankful that we can gather together here. And Lord, we know that Jesus is our high priest today, receiving our thanksgiving. And Lord, we offer that thanksgiving to you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that it produces in our lives 30, 60, 100 fold. Father, we thank you that it is the word that produces in our lives the peace, the love, the grace, the joy. Father, it is the love in our hearts for you, Lord, that causes us to bear fruit. Lord, I thank you that you said in your word, apart from you we can do nothing, but that in you we can do all things and we can bear much fruit. So Lord, we look to you today and thank you for your mercy and your kindness. We come to the throne of grace, Father. And I pray for every leader, every pastor, every worship team member, every person under the sound of my voice, Father, that their eyes would be opened with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That grace and peace would be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of Him, Father. That we would increase in spiritual wisdom and walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Father, that we would abound in love and in the knowledge and judgment of love, that we would be sincere and without offense until the day of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that all of these ministry gifts here would be accepted of the saints. That the word, Lord, would be received in their hearts and that they would, Father, all of us would go to our prospective churches and ministries and preach the word instant, in season, in and out. Father, we thank you today. As we gather here, we're so thankful for all that you're doing here. Lord, we know that it's bigger than us. Father, we know that this is your vision. You said in your house there are many mansions, many places, Lord. And Father, we thank you that Jesus has prepared that place for us. We receive our place of grace, O God. We receive that place of rest. And we thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your goodness, and for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. If you would, open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. No, go ahead and open them up to Galatians chapter 2, just a moment. Galatians chapter 2. You know, one of the things that I find as a pastor, minister, Christian, and I'm sure that the South African culture is no different than the American culture in regard to the cares of life. And you know, one of the things that I want you to grab a hold of and get a hold of is that the heart of the gospel is peace. You know, we know that it is the love of God, but that love, God wants that love to produce peace in our lives. And you know, I want to take just a moment to thank you all. This will be my last session for this particular conference. To thank you all for being here so much. And I tell you what, let's do. Where's Arthur? Is he in the room? He's outside. Arthur, listen to this if you can hear this. Yeehaw! For Arthur, amen. I'll tell you, that was such a good word, Arthur. We love you. We appreciate you. But we want to thank you so much and thank Pastor Allen and Janice for the vision of Safe Harbor. Our prayer is that all of y'all would see what God is trying to do here and that you would connect with it not only by letter but by heart. But what we found and what I have found in my life, you know, when you think about in the last 7 or 8 years across the world, we've had the tsunami, we've had Hurricane Katrina, we've had all sorts of West Nile virus. We've had this virus, the SARS virus. We've had all sorts of economic threats where the economy is like on a roller coaster. And you think about that happening within the last 7 or 8 years. And when you think about that, one of the designs that I'm convinced that the world's culture tries to bring to us is to rob the peace of God from our lives. Paul wrote, and we were talking about this earlier on the way to the conference, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and he said, "I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." And see, we need to be the people that when the world systems begin to crumble and they begin to fall, that we stand up strong in peace with the answers and recognize that we can be the people that will say, God is not mad at you. God is not threatening you. God is not trying to destroy you. God is trying to bring the solution to you. God is trying to bring the answer to you. You know, if we in our own hearts and in our own lives don't experience this peace, you know, I learned a long time ago, you can't give what you don't have. You know, you cannot give away what you do not have. And if you think that God is continually mad at you, that God is continually condemning you, that God is always, you know, there was a book that was out a few years ago, and it was like God was playing hide and seek with people. And like if you would chase Him, then when you got there, He wouldn't be there. He would be somewhere else. I'm telling you, that is not true. God is your Father. He's not playing some sort of game with you. You are not a puppet. You are a child of the living God. And you know, in our society today, where I'm from, I mean the town that I'm from, if people thought for just a minute that God was treating them the way they're accusing Him, He would have to be imprisoned because of the abuse that they're accusing God of. God is at peace with you. Jesus made a covenant of peace. And the heart of the gospel is that you experience that peace in your life on a daily basis. You know, when you go home, when you deal with the frustrations of the day, I remember one time we were in church my wife's brother and his wife were in our service. They were just visiting our service. And I'm standing up preaching and all of a sudden I had a word of knowledge. And this word of knowledge came to me like a television screen in front of my face. So I'm standing here but I'm talking to people. And all of a sudden, this was before the little mini DVD players that you see. And I'm sitting here looking at this DVD picture. And this picture is this woman. She gets out of a car. She slams the door in the car. She said, "I've had a bad day." And she walks up the steps of her house. She slams the door and she said, "I don't want anybody to say a word to me. I don't care anything about my family. I don't care anything about anybody else. I'm going to sit here on the couch and watch TV and forget about everything." So I gave out this word of knowledge. Of course, the altar was not flooded with people. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, nobody came. But I knew it was so real because it was a word of knowledge that came and it was just so plain. So after the service, I'm standing at the door and lo and behold, my sister-in-law, she comes up to me and she pulls me to the side. She said, "Are you a fortune teller?" I said, "No." She said, "You will not believe what I just did that the day before we left to come to visit you." She said, "I was treating my family terribly. And I was just telling her," I said, "you know, the world is robbing the peace from your life. You're taking that out on your family." Folks, listen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And you need to ask yourself, look on your study guide here on the second page, page 29. I want to ask you a question. What is peace? What is peace? Number one there says, peace is freedom from fear, anxiety, and frustration. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:31-34. Take no anxious thought. Don't take any thought about tomorrow. Well, they treated me so badly at work today. Don't take anxious thought for it. Learn to cast the whole of that care over on the Lord. Number two, this is huge. Rest in knowing that Jesus has done the work of reconciliation. Not necessarily regeneration, you know, because Jesus has reconciled the whole world. But it doesn't take you long to figure out the whole world has not been regenerated. I mean, just go to work. You know, one time I was at work. I'm so glad I knew this message. Listen, I'm so glad I knew this message. But I was working in a laundry. And I was pressing pants. Has anybody in here ever pressed pants? I mean, I was good at it, man. I could press those pants and I would put those pants. And this lady worked next to me in her station. But she would cuss me out. Or how would you say? Curse? Swear. She would swear at me all day long. Swear at me. I'd take my pants and then she'd swear at me. And she'd swear at me. And I thought, you know what? This is giving me an opportunity here as a Christian to whether or not I'm going to let her rob my peace from me. She was not regenerated. The price had been paid for her reconciliation, but she had not received, like Arthur was saying earlier. So days went by. She cursed at me. I mean, you know what? You work in a laundry. You know, in a laundry, it's hot. You know, very, very hot. So you sweat. And so I would wear deodorant, try to put on some cologne. Well, she got to cursing at me because I smelled too good. She said, your cologne is just too much. And she said, just cussing at me because of that. Okay, so lo and behold, she keeps cussing, but I'm holding my peace. I'm walking in peace. I thought, you know what? She is not going to move me from this peace that I know in my heart. I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Folks, I'm telling you, our life, family-wise, we were so broke, so poor, so hurt. We couldn't afford to do anything. Our cars were falling apart. And I'm working at a laundromat pressing pants. You know I'm doing that. And Judy's cussing me out while I'm doing it. But one day, everybody say one day.
One day.
Yes. Judy came to me and she said, I don't know what it is about you, but she says, I want what you got. She said, will you pray with me to receive Jesus? I said, sure, Judy. She said, will you take me? She said, our family has always gone to this certain spot way up in the mountains where there's a river. She said, will you take me and baptize me? Sure, Judy. I said, we'll make a family event out of it. We took our daughters and my wife and we went up to the mountains and went to the big river and walked down in the river and baptized Judy. 4 months later, Judy was dead from a car accident. I thought 1,000 times, what if I'd let her rob my peace? What if I had let her rob? What if I had let the world's culture remove my peace? I would have not have had the answer for her. I thought 1,000 times. Not that I'm the only one that God could have used. God could have used a lot of people. But God had me in that position. And I'm convinced that because I knew these factors, that rest is in Jesus. My contentment is in Jesus. My peace is because God is not mad at me. God was not using her to punish me. God, that's right. God was not using her. I'm taught by the Holy Spirit. You understand that? See, and any time we allow those outward circumstances to come to us, we are allowing the world's culture, the enemy, to rob the peace from us. Peace is the heart of the gospel. Now, in order for us to be able to do that, listen, you have to get it settled in your heart that God's not mad at you. God is at peace with you. And I want to take this a step further.
God is at peace with the world. He was at peace with Judy, and Judy's cussing me out or swearing me out. He was at peace with her. You know what God's intention for Judy was? That she would receive that reconciliation. God's intention for Judy was that Judy receive Jesus and what he did and not go to hell. That was God's intention for Judy. See, part of your peace is entering into rest, where you do not feel like you have to fight everything that comes against you. We are not in this by force. Now listen, in Matthew chapter 11, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but there are two very important words in Matthew chapter 11. Preachers have so misquoted this passage of scriptures that it just, you know, it bothers me. Jesus said this. He said, "Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." 99% of the preachers that you hear leave off the two most important words. Right. Until now. Right. He said, until now. Until now what? Until now, John was here preaching to you the law, the prophets. But I am here. Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Until now. The until now part is the part that most people leave off because they're trying unwittingly, I don't think they consciously know this, I hope that they don't, to get you into dead works. Well, if we can get enough people praying, I tell you what, Pastor, let's start a prayer chain in our church. And if we can call everybody on the prayer chain, and if we can get 1,000 people praying, we'll get that old codger up there in heaven, that old bad guy, we'll finally get him to move. I tell my folks this. We're trying to get God to move. We haven't got a hold of the first move yet. God moved 2,000 years ago on the cross. Listen, our move is to labor to enter into rest. Our move is to labor to be content where we are. Our move is to learn to be content with such things that we have and quit being so greedy and covetous in regard to thinking we are the only one that God can use to do something for someone. When all the time God is trying to do something for us, He wants you to go home. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your life. Enjoy Him. Abide in Him. And out of that abiding in Him, let fruit be born. Did you ever see a fruit tree? Has anybody ever seen a fruit tree? You know it's polite when someone asks you a question to answer. I said, did anybody in here ever see a fruit tree? What kind of fruit trees do you have here? Mango. Or did you ever see a fruit tree out in the field going, "Ooh, ooh, shundai, shundai, I'm believing I'm going to bear fruit, hallelujah." The fruit tree bears the fruit because of the seed that's within it. I used to see an acorn. And I think, well, there's an oak tree. But you know what? That doesn't work that way anymore. I see an acorn and I see a forest. See, the seed came within you. Labor to enter into that rest and experience that peace. Now, let me share here with you real quickly. Number three, fruitfulness. See, what is peace? Peace is freedom. Peace is rest. You know, pastors, listen to me now. Under rest, I've got to say this. Under rest, when you walk in rest, listen to me now. Listen real carefully. Pastors, you cannot find this in the Word of God where it is your responsibility to confront sin. Somehow, as pastors, we get the idea, If a person comes into our church and they live a life of sin, it's our responsibility to confront that sin. Listen, there is a huge difference between confronting sin and correcting sin. When you confront sin, you're always trying to expose the sinner. When you bring correction, you're always thinking about their worth, their value, the love that God has for them. There's a lot of pastors and ministers that live their life to confront sin. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with it when you get it? You know, I don't tell you what you're going to do. You're going to stir it up and it's going to stink more. You're going to cause a bigger problem. See, it doesn't mean we ignore it. I mean, I've got people in my church that have problems. Big problems. I mean, listen, you're talking about preaching grace. I had a guy sitting in my church, listen to this now, with his girlfriend. Sitting in my church with his girlfriend and two ex-wives in the same service. I mean, it's like, hey, come everybody. You see the sign on the outside of churches, everyone welcome. But then when someone like that comes in, you get out. You know what I'm saying? Sitting with his girlfriend, listen, sitting with his new girlfriend and two ex-wives in the service. Listen to me preach. We need to understand, folks, when we enter into rest, it's not always going to be, we're not always going to try to find a way to confront sin. We are responsible for bringing correction through the Word of God. But we're not, listen, when you go to confronting sin, you're going to move your own self out of rest, and then you're going to begin to lose peace, then you're going to begin to get frustrated with ministry, then you're going to begin to want to say, why am I doing this? And then you know, as one minister used to say, you end up on the spiritual junk heap. God doesn't want that for you. Number three, fruitfulness. Everybody say fruitfulness in my own life. You know, Jesus put it this way. He said, get the log out of your own eye before you try to get the speck out of everybody else's. And we think if we can jump over into ministry, whoo-hoo, all of a sudden I'm exempt. Now I can begin to pull the specks out of everybody else's eye. You know what? I don't have enough time. I do not have enough time to pull and deal with the issues in people's lives, and neither do you. Your time needs to be spent worshiping and fellowshipping in the presence of God, enjoying the peace of your Father. Everybody say fruitfulness. The only way fruitfulness is going to come through James chapter 3, he says that the righteousness of God will bear the fruitfulness of peace. That's the way it will come. When you understand I'm the righteousness of God, I'm not in this trying to fight somebody. I've learned to be content in my life. I can enter into the rest of God. I can enjoy fellowship with my Father. I can go on a picnic with my family. I can go on holiday with my family. You know what? I can actually go to the movies and watch a movie. Oh, demons will get you, Pastor Ron. No, listen. Greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. Greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. And lastly is joy. Now, I wanted to show you these because I want to show you something here. Now, when you look at the product of peace, what are the fruit of peace? What is peace? Peace is freedom, rest, fruitfulness, and joy. I mean, if you could put peace in the definition, see, what we've tried to do is we say, okay, we're going to have peace now. We're going to put on a good worship CD, light candles, and we're going to go, Maybe we'll draw a warm bath. And we'll light candles in the bath. Okay? Maybe we'll put the CD on in the bathroom. Am I saying this correctly?
Yes.
All right. Doing good. Okay. And we get in there and we think, okay, this is going to be so peaceful for me. I've got news for you. Someday or other, you're going to have to come out of the bath. You're going to have to face the real world. And see, the peace we're talking about works whether you're in a bathtub with candles lit or whether you're in the back of the backwoods or in the middle of town. This peace works. Now, I want to talk to you about something. Did you all ever hear the song, "Were You There When They Crucified Our Lord"? You've heard this song? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Y'all know it? Sing it with me. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Whoa, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Listen, you were there. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he said in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Jesus died in vain." I'm telling you today, you were crucified when Jesus was crucified. Now, you say, what is the practical application? I don't know how practical this is, but you're going to have to hang on with me here for a minute. When Jesus, see, if you're going to walk in this type of peace, which is the heart of the gospel, listen to me now, you're going to have to live in the eternal realm. You're going to have to live in the realm of timelessness before you die and go to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 5, turn with me real quickly to John chapter 5. You have to see this. I was actually looking at this morning, and I couldn't believe what I read. But it's in John chapter 5. Look at this with me. Say, thank you, Jesus. Notice here, John chapter 5. Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. Now, now just say this. Say, "I love you, Pastor Ron. I'm not going to get mad at you. If I feel anger towards you, I'm going to reserve it till after you're gone." Okay, listen to this now. Listen. Look in John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus say right there that to believe on him or him that sent him? Now, why is it important to believe on him that sent him? Because if you believe on him that sent him, which is God the Father, then you're going to have to believe the very purpose that God had in sending him. If you believe on him that sent him, then you're going to have to believe the reason why he sent him. And he sent him so that you could enjoy life. So that you could have abundant life. So that you could have peace, so that you could have rest, so that you could have freedom from fear, so that you could enjoy life. But look at this. I love this. Notice, "Verily, verily," verse 24, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me What's that next word? Somebody read that. Mark, say it in Hillbilly for me.
Hath.
Now let's say it in South African. Hoth. It's either hath or hoth, but it's still the same word. Okay, all you South African folks, all you folks from Africa here, say hoth. Hoth. Now, did it say that he's going to get it?
No.
It says, he that believeth on him that sent me, and here's my word, has eternal life. The biggest lie that you've ever been told is that when you die, you're going to have eternal life. No. You get eternal life when you receive Jesus. You get the God quality of life, the Zoe, in the Greek it's called Zoe. You get that kind of life when you receive Jesus. But here's the deal. We've got a choice. You can either live in the present time now and all the things that this world's culture tells you, or you can choose to step over into the realm of timelessness and eternity and live your life. Now, I want to say something here. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Amen? Now, we know that when Jesus comes back, at some point, the Scripture says He's going to set up the millennial reign of Christ. And guess what's going to happen during that time? All of us are going to have a part to rule and reign with Him. I don't know how that's going to work. You know what? It's not, I mean, it's important, and I'm looking forward to it, but you know what? I'm going to show you a way in just a moment, if you'll let me, that you don't have to wait until you die, or you don't even have to wait till Jesus comes back to do that. If He's giving you the God quality of life now, and if you are crucified with Christ, and Christ lives within you, why are we not ruling and reigning now? But see, listen to me. We're going to have to learn how to live in the millennial reign of Christ before He gets here. And we're going to do it by faith. We're going to believe that we are kings and priests now. We're going to believe that eternal life is ours today. We're going to believe that we don't have to get frustrated when the economy goes up and down and up and down and our neighbor goes wild and people are going crazy. We can be the people of peace. And you know what? You can do all of that without sending me a special offering. Yes. You can do every bit of that without sending me a special offering. How many people have you heard say, send me a special offering and watch this blessing flow in your life? I'm telling you, this blessing is flowing in your life now. Now. This blessing was flowing in your life before you ever acknowledged it. This blessing was flowing in your life the day that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. He's been waiting on us to receive what He's done. Done preach myself happy. Man. Everybody say eternal life is mine. Now, how do you say that? Now, I've been in South Africa enough to know when you say just now, that doesn't mean now. Just now is a little while, right? Okay. So, now is when? I thought now was now. Now. Okay. Now is now. Not just now, but now. I'm saying you've got eternal life now. Not just now, but now. Amen. Are you with me? Eternal life is yours because you have received Jesus. Jesus. Listen. Jesus came to give us this kind of life. You're in John. Turn with me to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Look at this. Oh, I've got so much I want to say about this.
Look at John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've got two or three different places I want to go. Let me find which one I want. Okay. Found it. Look here. Look in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse. This is Jesus speaking. It's written in red, right? Okay. Notice he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." See, we need to quit running after the peace that the world gives. The world is trying to give peace. They're trying to accomplish, they're trying to solve problems. But folks, I'll tell you something. Jesus is the only solution. You know, I was watching this organization in America where they're known in this particular organization for taking up money to help this particular cause. And this incident happened. And I mean, it's almost like in America, people want you to feel guilty if you don't give to this organization. But this organization is a very humanistic organization that's trying to do something good. Listen, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, unknowingly, I was watching this program and they forgot to turn off the microphone of the key guy. And the key guy that is the leader, I mean, that really draws in the money and draws in the support and all, makes it such a popular thing. I'm not going to say what he said, but he said, "I don't really care what these GD people do. But you've got people sitting in churches every day giving money to organizations that aren't promoting the gospel just simply because it appears to be good. And that is the world's way of peace. There is such a distinction between the peace that Jesus leaves and the peace that the world tries to make. Let me say this. There is no other way than peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You have that peace. That peace has been bequeathed unto you. That peace is your inheritance. That peace He desires for you in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the test, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the problem. He said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." Now notice what He said. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, it's your choice. Everybody say, "It's my choice." Say, "The peace is mine. The eternal life is mine. But it's my choice." Now see, what I'm saying is, we can already, by faith, choose to step over into the realm of eternal life and timelessness. See, we're all worried about time. Time. Listen, you can live your life every day in timelessness. Eternal life. Here's a thought. Eternal life. Eternal. That doesn't mean the next 100 years. That doesn't mean the next 1 billion years. That doesn't mean the next 10 billion years. It means eternal. You can choose to live in that quality of life because Jesus has already paid
the penalty for sin, for judgment, in regard to what He did at Calvary. God is desiring for us to live in this realm of eternity now. What? Listen, you think, well, I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Ron. I just don't understand. Listen, if you can live in eternity now in regard to I am crucified with Christ, that is living in eternity past. Why not say I can live as a king and a priest in the realm of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ now in eternity future? And why not even better than that than say, I can reign through grace and the gift of righteousness in eternity present? If you can receive that you have been crucified with Christ and you were nailed to that cross with Him, then you can receive that you will reign as a king and a priest. Now I'm going to show you this. Look with me real quickly to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. And I've got to close, Matt. How much time do I have? 5 minutes. That's just going to give me just enough time. If I get about 5 from you and 5 from someone else and 5 from someone else. Look at this with me. We're going to see this. We're going to see how this practically applies. Let me tell you something. The truth that will set you the freest, sometimes will offend you the most. I'm going to say that to this side, okay? Where's my line? Maybe you're real close to it. The truth that will set you the freest sometimes will offend you the most. I mean, I love Jesus. Don't y'all love Jesus? Has Jesus ever called you a dog? I'm telling you, He did this woman. You remember this story of the Syrophoenician woman? What did Jesus say to her? Look at this now. Look at this. Verse 24 of Mark chapter 7. And from thence He arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And entered into a house and would have not man know it, but he could not be hid. I felt that way myself. Sometimes I feel like when I come to South Africa, I can be hid. You know what I'm saying? Or get out of town, you know what I mean? Verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought Him that He would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Hey, in other words, you're a dog. You're not getting the bread from the kids' table till they eat first. Now, most of us would have said, Judy's been swearing at me. Golly, I want to go to a church. I want to go work somewhere where nobody ever, all the Christians work together. We just love each other. Wake up. If you went to a place where all the Christians worked together, you'd probably strangle each other by the end of the day. We're in a real world here, folks. But something I want you to see. Jesus called this woman a dog. But she said, yay, Lord! Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, I may be a dog, Jesus, but I'm your dog. Oh, I tell you, we need to get a hold of that. You may be a dog, but let me tell you something. Be Jesus' dog. And let me tell you something. Because she did not get offended. Listen, listen. She was a Gentile person. She had no right to this covenant that He was preaching. But let me show you something. She stepped over into the realm of timelessness and received something before her time. She received a promise of the new covenant before the new covenant was even ratified. And I'm telling you, we can receive, listen, right now, by faith, we can receive to rule as kings and priests before God. Why? Listen, if you've been crucified with Christ, say, I've been crucified with Christ, you can live for Christ. You can live with Him. How do you do it? Listen to what Paul said. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives within me. Now listen to this. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who, what? Loved me. And gave Himself for me. And then the very next word He said is, I do not frustrate the grace. Don't frustrate the grace. Receive the grace. If you're going to be a dog, be the master's dog. Don't take offense and think, I've got to be this little perfect little person in my life. If I'm not this little perfect person, I can't receive anything. Listen. This woman had no right. Jesus called her a dog. But you know what? She said, yea, Lord. I love that. I love it. She said, yay, Lord. Listen. If the Lord ever calls you a dog, say, yay, Lord. I'm telling you, all He's trying to do is pull faith up out of you. All He's trying to do is to break through that offense so you can receive the truth. All He's trying to do is to get you to step over into the realm of timelessness and see that it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives within you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm out of time. Let's stand up together. All right, stand up here together. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ho, ho! Yay, Lord! Thank you. Say it out. Yay, Lord! Come on, lift up your hands and your hearts. And let's worship Him and thank Him.